Tune in to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Psy's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Psy's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. The voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Psy, not to mention is executive producer, creative head, content and human resources manager, and of course, is supreme director. Sai Ram, good morning dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. My name is Karuna and I thank you for your company on this fine Thursday morning, May the 25th, 2017, when a whole lot of us are gathered here in the studio to celebrate the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live. Right now, we are coming to you live from the Radio Psy studios here in Prashanthi Nilayam in Andhra Pradesh, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Where the time right now is exactly 41 minutes, actually, now 42 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in Parthi are surprisingly somewhat pleasant this morning, thanks to the little shower we had last night. Till then, it was seriously H and H in our part of the world. And if you're wondering what that is, H and H is hot and humid. But luckily, it's not so today, at least till now. We are hoping that we will have a generous monsoon fairly soon. So if the universe is listening to Morning Glory, this is a request to you, dear monsoon, please do come soon. Temperatures in the Divine Valley, maximum 38 degrees Celsius for today, which is about 100 degrees in Fahrenheit. Overnight lows, 26 Celsius, about 80 Fahrenheit. We have had some measly and sporadic rains and several rainless thunderstorms, but overall, Mr. Golden Sun is nearly capable of replenishing our annual vitamin D requirements in just a few minutes these days. But that doesn't change anything for us. With bright smiles, dark sunglasses, cool cotton clothes and our tanned skins, we continue to participate wholeheartedly in the great Indian summer. Come summer, spring, fall, winter, Prashanti is the one place on the planet where millions of us feel at home, because this is where the mind is at ease, the soul in sync with the source, and the heart, well, what to speak of the heart, is always at home in Prashanti Nilayam. And right now, right here in the Radio Psy studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, I'm surrounded by my colleagues who most of you are quite familiar with. As we celebrate the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live, just last week on May the 17th, we turned 5. I invited a number of my favorite RJs and your favorite RJs who host various segments of Thursday Live to join me on Morning Glory. Dear listeners, before I begin to speak with them, I want you to know that if you have a question or a feedback or a comment for any one of my colleagues here, you can email me ASAP. Do it right away, because it takes a few minutes to reach me through the server. My email remains karuna@radiosci.org, and I will try my best to incorporate your feedback or comment in this morning segment. Now, Thursday Live was born on 17th of May 2012, just a year after the epochal event in our lives, the Mahasannidhi of our beloved Lord Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Babaji. And if you ask any educator, they will tell you that what a child learns till the age of 5 stays with him or her for life. So as Thursday Live has turned 5, I thought it would be super nice to celebrate this milestone by looking down memory lane to review our learning, our teething troubles, the challenges that we have faced and overcome, and the repeated and umpteen reminders that this experience has given us of who the real boss is around here and who actually runs this show at Radio Psy 24/7. So without any further delay, I'm happy to welcome to Morning Glory my brothers from Team Radio Psy, who host various segments every Thursday. Most of them are household names within the Radio Psy orbit, which is global in reach. I'm pleased to have with me, first of all, Brother Ganesh from the Telugu team. Sai Ram, Brother Ganesh, and welcome to Morning Glory.
Sairam Didi.
Sairam the listeners.
Ganesh, can you tell us some of the programs that you have hosted over the years, the names?
First of all, I would like to offer my pranams at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. The programs that I was hosting are the Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari Telugu Live Segment, the Vedam Tutor, and for a year, myself and Brother Prem shared the Children's Hour program.
And Children's Hour was so popular, it's been, people have requested for it to be repeated. Also with us is my colleague, Brother Chandu Vijay. Sairam Chandu.
Sairam Didi, thank you for having me today.
What a pleasure to have you. So you've been hosted in two programs, Love to Love and later the
Satsang. No, just Love to Love.
Yes.
Well, Satsang Hall Talks, we started from January, but it is still under the banner of Love to Love. We have not changed the name yet.
I see. Okay, welcome to the show. And you have hosted Service Love in Action.
Yeah,
and now?
I started with the Service Love in Action and it was there for a couple of years. And now a new series has started, that is Sri Satya Sai Sandesh Jari. Beg your pardon.
That is, you're stealing Ganesh's program.
Sri Satya Sai Ashtotar Shatnamavali.
That's right.
Sorry for that.
No problem.
Yeah, that is 108 names of Bhagwan, Ashtotaram. And every segment we thrum and also narrate a story related to each name.
Thank you, Raghu. Also with us is Brother Arvind Balasubramanian. Sairam Arvind.
Sairam Didi. And it's amazing, you know, this Thursday live, as you said, has taught so many things. Right away today morning itself, you know, it is amazing the way you introduced it. I just felt that I must also incorporate something like this in the afternoon satsang segment, of which I have been a part from quite a few years. Before that, I had a segment called Let's Ask Swami, where the attempt was to have some questions which are being answered in Bhagwan's divine voice. But after that, Prem and myself, we started this afternoon satsang, and that's what we have been doing so far. And I can even empathize with Raghu, you know, taking on somebody else's segment name, because we are so closely working with each other on different programs. Though we are having certain programs in our names, we are also part of other programs. It's natural that I may blurt out some of the names.
In fact, this Ashtotaram program, the idea came out from the Telugu segment itself. They had done this program in Telugu, so we thought we'll do it in English.
That explains the slip. It's totally understandable. No sweat. Thank you, Arvind. It's good to have you on the show. And dear listeners, his Siamese twin, a Brother Prem, is walking towards the studio as we speak in his calm manner, unrushed, because he just finished winding up his duties in the mandir, because Prem is part of the team that oversees the live output of the daily Vedam and Bhajans from the mandir, and he will be joining us very shortly. Now, before I begin to unravel some of the behind-the-scenes drama that goes into making Thursday Live, I just want to share with you that day before yesterday, I posted on my personal Facebook page that we would be celebrating this event with the RJs in the studio, and the post was, of course, very well received. Here are a few sample comments that I received on my post. Rajesh, I beg your pardon, Kavita Rajesh from Delhi wrote, "Wow, all RJs of Radio Sai together, heartwarming experience," and she's looking forward to it. Vasanti Sundaram from Bangalore wrote, "Special episode, looking forward." Meena Mukherjee said, "Thank you, Karuna, for giving us the news. I'm so happy." Rita Jailkhani from, I believe, Delhi said, "I'm a regular listener to Radio Sai, and one is transported to the world of Swami, thanks to the team." Raman Kota said, "Good news, Swami may give special effects to the program." Mrs. Sandarya Krishnamurti, who's a much loved figure around here, from Chennai, she said, "Very, very good news. May Bhagwan be always with the most loved Radio Sai team. Radio Sai, the most effective and dedicated media of spreading Bhagwan's message and teachings to all over the globe." Deepak Bharwani from Mumbai said, "Excellent. Looking forward to the event." Lakshmi Reddy wanted my email, which I provided. Sanjeev Kumar Chuk said, "Jai Sairam." Three words say it all. Swati Mohanty said, "Thanks, Didi, for sharing the news. We will experience the same." Poonam Rawal from the US said, "Jai Sairam, what a wonderful gift, Swami. Thank you, Team Radio Sai, and thank you, Sai Ma." Yashoda Devi said, "Thank you for the news. We are enjoying the programs on Radio Sai, thanks to the talented, highly dedicated, devoted, diligent team of Radio Sai." Kanta Verma from Toronto, Canada said, "Thank you for Swami's blessings to all." And apart from these, many other messages of congratulations and best wishes have been received from many of our listeners and well-wishers, including from the former All India President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization and former member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, Mr. V. Srinivasan, who sends his best wishes. We at Team Radio Sai We reciprocate all of those with much love, humility and gratitude to Bhagwan. I've also received a few emails from our avid listeners with feedback for our RJs. I beg your pardon. I will share those details with you through the course of the program. And by the way, dear listeners, it is my pleasure to now welcome Brother Prem, who has made the journey from the mandir to the studio, and he has now arrived. So, Sairam Prem, and welcome to Morning Glory.
Sairam Didi, thanks for the opportunity to be here. I didn't realize I'm walking right into the show.
Well, you know, when you're a celebrity with many things to do, I guess it happens. And Prem, you host so many different programs, and over the course of the last 5 years, you've been a host of number of them. Can you just list them for us, please?
We started off with, of course, the afternoon satsang. And then I went on to do a program with Sai Prakash, which was the Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. That went on for, I think, a little over a year. And
hugely popular and much enjoyed by our listeners.
That's because there are three participants in that program: Sai Prakash, myself, and, of course, Swami. Because it was completely centered on Swami's discourses. But we completed that series, and of course we had an opportunity to speak about that last time extensively.
Yes.
And after that, I had Children's Hour with Ganesh. And after running Children's Hour for one year, I think the response for the Shravanam Mananam was so much, people asking for that to be re-aired or restarted with a new series of discourses. So we started again the 1991 Samvako series, which I think for major part is bouncers for all of us, because Swami is speaking so much on deep Vedantic philosophies, and every time you go through that discourse, you realize, I mean, you wonder that Swami was sitting, I mean, standing in front of an audience of 17, 18, 19 year olds and speaking such profound truth. And the opportunity to go back to that so many years later and assimilate it slowly, I think that is a blessing by itself. Then of course the latest program is in the Radio Sai Answering Booth.
And we'll talk more about it in the next few minutes. Thank you, Prem, and welcome once again. So, dear listeners, as we look back at the start of this amazing journey that began on the 17th of May in the year 2012, let me tell you that most of the team was rather untrained for this sort of a role. But trusting in Bhagwan Baba, we just embarked on an uncharted territory to spread his message of love and universal harmony amongst the peoples of the world. Now, dear fellow RJs, when you look back, we'll start with Arvind there because the microphone is closest to him. We are sharing our microphones a bit here. So when you look back, dear brothers, what do you see in the rearview mirror? So let's start, Arvind.
Yeah, this Radio Sai, especially the Thursday Live, has been such a kind of reinforcing experience for me when I look back at these 5 years. And I would like to elaborate a bit on this. When we were students in the hostel, and our sole objective there was to please Swami, to make Swami happy with whatever we can, and therefore we would always put in extra efforts. Some of us would take up a sadhana like maunam, some of us would take up a sadhana of doing silent seva, different things. These are ways in which we were hoping that Swami would feel happy, we would get some brownie points or bonus, and he would shower us with his interaction, interview, whatever. So when we used to do this, you know, many times we would write it in our letters also. Bhagwan, I'm trying to do maunam. I'm trying to participate in bhajans. I'm trying to learn one bhajan every day. You know, different things.
In Anandpur, it was, we won't talk in study hours because we were so prone to talking. Yes.
Yes, it can be as, you know, as big or small as one may perceive, because it doesn't matter what others think, whether it's big or small. What would matter to Swami is how big it is for the person who is planning to undertake it. And, you know, we would notice that though different people do the same sadhana and people do different sadhanas, the way Swami would respond to each would be different. And for some it would be a very emphatic response, for some it would be a lukewarm response, for some it would even be a cold response, where Swami even didn't seem to acknowledge what they were doing. And of course there can be many reasons for this. But as a student, I always used to think that one of the main factors for Swami's response would be how sincerely the person is doing it. And when I say how sincerely, Swami says, in life you should be, then you should do, and then you should tell. So I always felt that if I told a Swami in a letter telling Swami I'm doing maunam, it would not be enough. I have to first be maunam. And when I say be maunam, it's not just cutting my talk. in order to cut my talk, I have to actually cut my thoughts.
So total reduce, silence.
Yes, I need an inner silence. And that manifests as an outer silence where I talk less. Hmm. And having done this, if I just write a letter and tell Swami, I'm doing Maunam, I make this as an offering to you, I felt that Swami would respond because I have been something, I'm doing something, and then I'm telling it to him. And with Swami leaving physically, you know, it was a sudden vacuum. Hmm. Because where do I now look for this kind of a
validation.
Acknowledgement, validation? Yeah, and Swami's blessing. Hmm. Because just by the way Swami would look at me or smile at me, I would understand whether I'm doing it right or not.
Yeah. And he made it very clear. Even a glance from him would speak volumes.
Yes, yes. You will know it. In your heart, you know whether he is happy or not. And
or you're
enough.
In trouble also, just one look was enough. Or
exactly.
Lack of it, the way he would manage to ignore you.
Exactly. Now, how do I get this in his physical absence? Hmm. And that is where, you know, many times people come to me and say, brother, Radio Sai is a life changer. Radio Sai respond by saying, you know, for me too. Mm-hmm. Radio Sai is my connect to Swami also. Because let me say how that has happened. You know, as I said, I've been part of this afternoon satsang and we have dealt with so many topics, at least 150 topics. And many of these themes are some things that we have held very close to our heart and practiced. Or some of them are something that we have just read the previous day. Hmm. But we need content for the show, so we are doing it.
Naturally.
And here also, I am seeing that kind of response. See, sometimes I have noticed that when I am speaking on something that is close to my heart, I have practiced it, I have really put my heart and soul into that, almost instantaneously, sometimes as fast as within 10 seconds in a mail, it comes, you know, a listener feedback, appreciating that, saying that this was very beautiful. It could be possibly a brother in far away America saying that you brought a smile on my face. It could be a sister in nearby Nepal saying that you brought tears in my eyes. When this happens, I feel this is Swami's modern way of patting the back and saying, I know that you are telling what you have been and what you are doing. Mm. So, you know, what Sai used to do for me, now Radio Sai is doing to a certain extent, because I definitely feel that when I am being something and I am doing something, and then when I tell, Swami sends the pat on the back, and that pat on the back feels as beautiful as Swami's pat on the cheek or the back would feel
in
a few
person.
Years ago. Yes.
Yes. And you know, Swami works at such multiple levels that what you're saying, it validates what I always say on Morning Glory, is that for us, listener Devo Bhava. Swami listens
absolutely.
Through the ears of our listeners, and whatever they tell us back, I feel is coming from Swami, including that which is critical of our programs, because we need to constantly improvise and improve. It's not like we can be smug with the praise of so many kind and well-wishers who say kind things, but we constantly need to evolve, and we will talk about our future strategies in a bit. But that certainly has been my experience also, that Swami comes back to you in the form of the many feedbacks we receive. And I take it also as Swami's feedback to us directly. Now, turning to Prem. When you look back in the rearview mirror, 5 years, and we were all of us in this room were involved in it from day one, what do you see?
Looking back, I think, one thing which always comes back to you is, I always say this when somebody comes up to you and says, you're doing a wonderful job. This, the professional hazard involved in working in Radio Sai is the praise that you get.
Yeah.
Right? The most
it's so spontaneous, it can mess you up in no time on your spiritual journey.
Absolutely. That's like the most dangerous hazard that we face.
Yes, yes.
But I think the way Swami offsets that is, you know, keeps reminding you that you are just an instrument, as we have. I mean, every time I think we've had a show like this, we always come and say, just like we have mics and speakers in the room here, we are one of them, one of the equipment here. And
truly.
It's so true. Because even some of the feedback which we get shows us that, you know, you could sit here and do the program, but you can't manufacture the kind of impact that it has or ensure that it goes to the right person and creates the kind of impact that it actually creates. Right? In fact, I recall one beautiful mail that I got, and this person, of course, I'm not going to name him, a very young person who's looking for a job. He wrote to me, he said, first of all, I'm very surprised I'm writing a mail praising any guru or a person of spiritual faith. He said, because very early in my childhood, I lost faith in all of this. And today when I hear the program, I mean, he happened to hear a program. I'll tell you how he happened to hear the program. Mm-hmm. He said, today when I hear your program, I know that a human mind cannot come up with these explanations. Mm-hmm. He said, it must be touched by something divine because of which a human person is able to speak like this. And he said, because of that, I trust that your guru is not an ordinary person.
Mm.
Okay. And he said, if you're still interested, I'll tell you how I happened to listen to your program. And I said, of course, I'm not interested. Tell me, how did you happen to hear my program? And he wrote to me, a very sad mail about his childhood, which was very checkered. You know, he apparently had been, he comes from a family which was cheated by a person who was a guru. And because of that, he ran away from the family. He got into a life of crime and all of that. I mean, he was remanded in a prison for a while. Then he came back. Somehow he completed his education. And can you believe it, Didi? He says that one day he was sitting in front of the computer and searching for a job online.
Mm-hmm.
And he landed up in Radio Sai and was listening to Radio Sai answering
both. Instead of Naukri.com.
Right. How would you explain that?
Yeah.
He says, I don't know Sai Baba, I don't know Radio Sai, I don't know where you are from. But I was searching for this program and I ended up in this program. And he said, every word that you spoke to me.
Wow.
And he said, now I know what is spirituality. I know that, you know, all gurus are not the same. And my pranams to your guru. I mean, you can sit here and do a program. You can ensure that your script is good. You can ensure that you're saying the right thing. You can ensure that your research is in place. But how can you manufacture this kind of response to what you do here?
Or the synchronicity, the way it's targeted. So many people say they hear the right sound bites at the right moment.
Absolutely.
In their life. It happens to most of us too. Like we have a personal dilemma and Radio Sai answers it, even though we work for Radio Sai. So we know somebody else is running this show altogether.
Right, and a totally different stranger. I mean, he's not even tuned to listen to you.
Yeah, he's not a Sai devotee. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for a job.
Jen, what is
guy?
The chance that you'll land up in a radio program when you're looking for a job? Right, and many times like that. And I mean, there's something which I think there's an incident which we have narrated many times before. Whereas when a student asked Swami, how do we ensure that we live up to your expectations? And Swami said, nothing. You just do what I want you to do. I will ensure that the impact is there. And I will ensure it reaches where it needs to reach. I think that's something which we keep listening over and over again. There's another beautiful incident, but I'll let others speak. Maybe if there's time, we'll come back to that.
Sure. Thank you. Raghu, how about you? You have been part of Thursday Live for the past 5 years.
Yeah, Sairam. So, Swami, through his discourses, has spoken about almost all topics like Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Seva, Moksha, everything. So, of all these topics, what I like the best is Seva, service to humanity. In fact, I feel that's one of the simplest topic for all. It's easy to serve the society and also I felt like it'll be easy for me to make a program on Seva. Because there is this Satya Sai Seva organization started by Swami himself, and almost all Swami's devotees are part of it, and inspired
in
by
India,
in the
great nation of Bharat, yes.
And Swami himself has not only spoken about Seva, but also has started many Seva projects like the drinking water project, the super speciality hospitals, the educational institutions, and inspired by this, Swami's devotees in their own places, in whatever capacity they can, are involved in Seva activities. So, and one more benefit is, as part of Prashanti Seva, the Sevadals from different states of India come to Prashanti Nilayam every month to do the Sevadal duty here. And it was easy for me to contact every month the state president of that particular state and get the Sevadal in charge or the service coordinator of that state. And I used to talk, I record the various activities that they involve in their state and also listen to the experiences of how it was participating in Seva activities. So that way, for a couple of years, it was nice. And after a couple of years, what happened was the same Sevadals were coming, and so it was slightly difficult for me to get new activities, new programs.
Mm-hmm.
So for about a year, I rebroadcasted the recordings itself. In fact, from these, I would like to narrate a couple of stories, a couple of activities which really touched my heart. One was told by one person from Chembur district near Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
It seems what they do is they have got a small group of Sai devotees. So they come together and they on their own way participate in some or the other service activities silently, very silently they do. Sanitation activity in Chembur, go to different government hospitals and do the sanitation cleaning. Or in Chembur there are many roads and in the roads there are potholes.
Especially in monsoon time.
Yeah. So they go in the midnight at around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock when the vehicles are very few and they fill the potholes in the road.
What a thoughtful thing to do.
Yeah. And it seems they have got a special way to make it, to fill the potholes. It's not just like going and putting some cement or something. It's done very professionally. They do it. So like that, many service activities, small service activities, just a small group, they do it, and they have called their group a name. That name is Chembur Dust. And I asked her, sir, why you named it as Chembur Dust?
Chembur is the place.
Yeah, Chembur is the district from where they belong, and dust. So sir, very nicely he told, see, we are nothing, we are like dust. It's Swami who is doing everything. So all credit goes to Swami. He is the hero and we are just dust. In fact, that sir didn't want to talk about the service activities only. I just kept on pestering him, telling him, sir, please come. Yeah. It will be inspiring for all. And
most Sai Sevaks are like that, very self-effacive, and they don't want publicity because that's how Swami has raised everybody, this whole couple of generations of selfless people. And you know, Raghu, if I may add, because I worked with you for some of these seva stories where the guests had to be interviewed in Hindi because you had a language barrier there. I found that in your segment, Service Love in Action, one thing was that most of the people were so transformed by the seva they did that most of these interviews, the guests were crying and they made me cry because they were so moved by...
Yeah.
The abject poverty and the difficulty of those who are underprivileged and the joy they received in helping them, and everywhere they found that Swami was guiding them and Swami was putting things in place. They were, as Prem was saying and as all of us concur, Swami was really using all the seva dals as instruments. And just 2 days ago, I interviewed a group for this segment from Bhavnagar in Gujarat. And this was an English interview, but I've also done one a year ago in Hindi. And the one thing I can share with our listeners is that these are people with hearts that are as soft as butter. They see the suffering of a fellow human being and they feel, no, I stand for Swami. I'm a representative of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, who's an epitome and apostle of love and compassion. This can't go on. And the kind of work they have done, that most of these interviews, you know, when the guest is talking, he's crying. If he has a team with him, the whole team is teary-eyed, and the pathetic interviewer is also crying. So I've got sniffles, so I have to always pause and have a drink of water, because there is so much of love and kindness in the world which we don't hear in mainstream media. And there are so many wonderful people who care for others and who go on a limb to help another person without a vested interest. And they all say that Swami takes nothing for free. Like, if they serve as his instrument, the bounty, the abundance he bestows upon them, which they never expected, is so much that seva is their life breath. And they feel the greatest joy. They don't need a psychiatrist. They don't need substance abuse. They don't need a high lifestyle. They need seva to give them that high and make them feel so happy and joyful. And that's a recurring theme I notice in your program, if I may add.
Yeah, very true. And talking to the members of Satya Sai Seva organization, I also found how it's different from many other NGOs. Like, even regarding this, I would like to share one.
I would say any other NGO, not many other. It's different from every and any
all
other
NGOs.
NGOs, yeah.
So regarding this also, I would like to share one nice seva project. It's the sanitation seva during Ganga Sagar Mela, which happens in West Bengal. The Ganga Sagar is the confluence of River Ganga with the ocean Bay of Bengal. And just like Kumbh Mela happens once in every 4 years, but Ganga Sagar Mela happens every year during Makar Sankranti occasion. So the pilgrims, many lakhs of pilgrims gather there and take a dip in the River Ganga and go to a temple which is there. The deity is Kapil Muni, and they offer their worship. So this is the procedure which happens during Ganga Sagar Mela. So many NGOs are working on it, have taken different activities like registration, then crowd control, accommodation, food, and other activities NGOs are doing. But there is one activity which nobody is ready to do, that is the sanitation cleaning seva. Because since lakhs of people go there, the beach fully gets dirty, and it seems there were nobody to clean the dirt. And even after the Mela, for about a month or so, the stink remained, it seems, the foul smell.
So much of human waste.
Yeah. And a few newspapers also commented that it seems it's one of the biggest open-air lavatory of India, something like that. So at that time, Satya Sai Seva organization went there, and they told we are ready to do it, the sanitation work. And it started in 1991. Satya Sai Seva organization started doing this in 1991. And when the state president of West Bengal went there to talk to the manager, the organizer of the Mela, so the organizer of the Mela asked, it seems, the state president, so how many sweepers have you got for cleaning the waste? Then he said, no, we didn't get any sweepers, we just got brooms. So the person was really shocked, it seems. What, you got brooms? Who is going to sweep? And the state president said, yeah, I'm going to sweep, and we are going to clean the other office bearers. So this is the difference, you know. The other NGOs, they just
hire help.
Yeah, hire the help and do it. The office bearers, they won't take the broom. They'll just call the sweepers and clean it. But here in Satya Sai Seva organization, the office bearers themselves do
very
the real activity.
Very true. Arvind?
Yeah, I think that comes because the way Swami has placed service in our lives. Every time Swami spoke about it or showed it to us, it was never like service is something you do to help somebody else. Seva is something that you do to benefit yourself. In fact, Swami gives us the story of a sadhu who sees a calf struggling in slush, and he goes and helps it come out of the slush, and people praise him saying, wow, you're amazing, you know, you went in where nobody was venturing. And he says, no, I didn't do anything selflessly. Seeing the calf in the slush, there's such a pain in my heart. In order to ease the pain in my heart, I went and did it. So Swami always, you know, emphasized on seva being something that benefits us. And that's the reason, Didi, why, as you said, seva gives us a high. Seva gives us a high because, you know, though we are all selfish beings, we get a high because seva really benefits us. And there is, just like tasting sugar, there is no other way of validating this other than diving into it.
Yes.
And doing it once.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And writing a check for someone else to do it for you is the easiest thing to do.
Exactly. You know, you have to participate in it. In fact, I'm reminded of a country I had been where they're doing an amazing seva, which is almost like building homes for people. And definitely it involves a lot of cost. But I was personal witness to a scene where a person had come with a check, you know, because he was moved by the seva, and he said, I want to donate, you know, for the next house where whatever I'm building, this part of my expense, I will bear it. And the people there, the organization there was doing this, they said, sorry sir, we have a rule. In order to donate money for this cause, it is compulsory that you have to be part of three home buildings. You come and build three houses, work, contribute your energy and time, and then if you want, you will be, you know, what do you say, you will be authorized or entitled to make a donation. And I feel that is the reason why this difference is seen between any other NGO and ours, because we are here doing seva for our own uplift, not for uplifting others.
Everything is about self-transformation. This organization is not about publicity. It's not about winning awards and emerging as the best NGO, this or that. Everything that Swami geared for us were different ways to suit our temper and our liking and our abilities to find a vehicle, the right path, so that we can transform and become who we're supposed to be.
And I feel Radio Sai is that seva opportunity that we have got. So therefore, there is no need, we don't really feel that we are doing something amazing, because through Radio Sai, it's such a blessing and boon that we are uplifting our own lives.
And constantly we are exposed to Swami's words, Swami's teaching, Swami's voice, uplifting talks, melodious music and bhajan. What other sublime input can you feed your senses with to feel that happiness in the heart? This is like all God sent, literally and metaphorically. Chandu, let's talk about your look back at Love to Love.
Yes. I completely agree with what Brother Raghu, Arvind and Prem were saying. If you see the common theme in all the three were saying is that this opportunity that we have got here is more for improving ourselves than anything else. And you know, the whole, when this Thursday Life started in 2012. So we had this meeting here, and when Sai Prakash suggested that, out of the blue, he said, why don't you do a program? Like, to me, I was kind of put on the spot because I didn't plan Thursday. It was like a meeting for Thursday Live. Good, I'll just participate and come back. So I was kind of put on a spot, and I couldn't say no, because it'll, unless you have a valid reason, you can't say no to that. So I was like, okay, I'll try something. And then, you know, throughout my life, I never came forward to speak. I mean, before that, the last speech I gave was in my UG, third UG in Vrindavan. So I was very nervous about this whole thing as to how am I going to go about this. But now when I look back at this whole experience that I've had in the last so many years, it has changed me so much personally. Mm. You know, like for example, this year, Professor Sudhir Vaskar said, you should talk in the satsang hall. If he would have told me 3 years ago, I would have flatly refused. I would have told no, and I would have ran away from here, you know. But so this year when he said, I said, yeah, sure, I can. Because of Thursday Life, because it has given me so much experience. Mm. And also, I will have to talk about our listeners. They are always so loving and encouraging in their feedbacks, you know, even when they criticize. It is...
And they're so apologetic. If I said something which is not right, please forgive me. I'm like, please do not be apologetic. Be a bit harsh with us. They're very polite.
Especially, I would like to mention Mrs. Shakuntala Ramaswamy. She always writes such sweet and encouraging emails.
From Singapore.
Singapore,
yes.
I know. And so when this whole program started, initially, I was randomly, like, you know, I thought I will start with something more on music, because there were a lot of talk shows going on, and it will be nice to give a break with playing a lot of music. So when I started this, I was just talking random things in between songs, you know, just something. It was not based on any theme, particular theme. And then slowly it evolved into a more theme-based program. And that time, one of our listeners from Mumbai, I think it is Ms. Kritika from Mumbai, she used to write feedback emails, and one email she wrote, if you want any help, I can help you, like that. So I said, okay, sure. Anyway, I tell these stories in between my songs. So if you come across any good stories, you send it to me. And invariably, every Thursday before my program, on a Wednesday or Tuesday, she would send me stories, whether it is Chinna Kathas or somebody's experience. And then it evolved a little more. Then she said, why don't you send me the list of songs that you're going to play so I can actually send you stories based on that. I mean, I never asked for this, you know. I never said, can you help me? So people were naturally helping. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, sure, why not? I sent her a list of songs, and some based on some of the songs, she would send me stories, which I could very easily incorporate it into my program. And then later, it was Darshana Shivanantham from Malaysia, who is a youth, very active Sai youth in Malaysia. She's also a Balvikas teacher. And for her, there were times when, like, I would go out of station and then come back. So there would be like just 2-3 days before next Thursday, and she would like literally work on the whole script. I mean, it eventually evolved to that, you know. And she would, because she had heard my program, she knew my style, and she would write in such a way I could just take the script and use as it is without any modification, you know. So these were like some amazing support and the help that I received during the last
participation from
the last. And this was a great working relationship which went on for like close to a year or more. Mm. She used to help.
Thank you, Darshana, and thank you, Kritika, and Mrs. Shakuntala Ramaswamy.
Yeah. So then, of course, a lot of interviews that happened, you know, in between, and that was... amazing. The first interview that I did was with Brother Sai Krishna of Radio Sai. He was running the Telugu stream that time. Mm-hmm. And then Sai Prakash, Arvind Sai, Kaustubh Pare, Anirudh, Brother Sonam, Dana Gillespie. I had a chat with Sai Giridhar on Atma Ramayana. And then Brother Siddhartha, Mr. Srinivas Raghavan from US. Mm-hmm. That was a great interview. So all this interacting with devotees, it's a very humbling experience when you interact with these devotees. Brother T.V. Hariharan, bhajan composer, And so personally for me, when I look back in this last few years, I think it has changed me so much, just being in this, the whole part of the Thursday life.
Truly, for all of us. And dear listeners, I owe you an explanation. You might have realized that Brother Bishop Rushti and Brother C.G. Sai Prakash are not here with us today, but all for very good and happy reasons. Our Brother C.G. Sai Prakash is right now enjoying some amazing weather in Germany. He's part of the Sai. He's gone to Germany where, as you may be aware, the Sai Symphony is going to be taking place, and he's going to cover it along with Brother Vinod Chakravarti for all of us and bring it, and you will see it again on Radio Sai very shortly. And Brother Bishop Rushti in the line of duty is right now doing something very epic and historic, which I cannot reveal, and it will come to you in due course of time. He's right now in Brindavan, Bangalore. So on behalf of both of them, I apologize for their absence, and I'm sure I'll have them on the show sooner than later once they're back. So let's talk to Brother Ganesh, with whom I share the mic. Okay, he has his own mic now. You know, it's funny because when you have so many RJs in the studio, they just, while one person is speaking, the other person keeps plugging something in. Now everybody has a headphone. Two people have headphones apart from me, and it's like, I wish we had a camera to capture this. It's quite a scene. So Ganesh has managed to find himself a mic. Ganesh, Sairam, your look back, please.
Yeah. Actually, when you were asking what do you look back in the rear view mirror, it says that objects that are seen in the rear view mirror are closer than they are.
They appear, yes, yeah. Very well said.
So I just want to thank Swami for giving us all this opportunity to take part in whatever small way we can. There is nothing that we can do for Swami. It's just that He gives us all opportunity to be a part of His mission. Shri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari, which started in 2012, along with all the other programs, live programs. It's been a very beautiful journey and a learning experience for me, for Brother Sai Krishna, who was a part of our Telugu team.
That is right.
And also Brother Sai Prasad, who is now a part of our Telugu team. We share the shows on alternate weeks. It's like whenever we want to do a particular program, when we prepare the concept, the script, the searching for audios and all that, this is a very huge process, because this takes us through a churning process. We feel that until and unless we understand the particular topic which we want to convey to the listeners, it's more of a learning experience for us. Because personally, when I started picking up certain specific topics, it always was very difficult for me, because I had to understand. I never had this spiritual bent of mine. Work
that?
Maximum, and I never thought of a spiritual background like this. But
you've been a Sai student through and through.
Yeah, but we never listened to Swami's discourses, to be very frank.
With that
we used to just doze off in the last lines, and whenever we get an opportunity, stand beside Swami and chant with him.
That's why it's payback time now.
Yeah, payback.
Now you have to pay acute attention to everything.
Yes, everything. So, to be very frank, so when we pick up these topics and we start reading Swami's literature, then you understand the reality of life and what Swami wants us to do and the purpose of our lives. And every topic is like taking you more inside you. And still we are learning. Very difficult to speak at this point of time, because you asked us what all things you learn. Practice is better than preach. That's what Swami tells. So whenever,
and it's very hard to speak on the microphone and pontify about something unless you have internalized it. You feel so guilty and like a hypocrite. So I think that's why we pick topics. I think that applies to where we have a little bit of a vested buy-in.
So unlike Prem, I take very, very simple topics, so that what is more practicable for me, I feel that is more practicable for others too.
Yeah, because we are all at different stages in our spiritual journey. I just stay with the feel-good factor. I leave Vedanta for Prem.
So, to give you a small example, why I am telling practice before you preach. Prem, you remember when we were doing the children's hour, one boy's mom had written that my child is having a lot of chocolates. Every day he is having one bar. Oh. And please tell your doctor to advise that kid to stop eating chocolates. So the doctor so lovingly told, no, he can have chocolates, but make it once in a week. So we had to tell this on air. Mm. So I thought this is a very good opportunity.
For Mr. Ganesh, by the way, dear listeners, has a sweet tooth like me.
So every time Swami used to see me dance, he used to tell me you have to reduce a lot of weight. I thought this is a very good opportunity for me to add to that. And then I stopped eating chocolates before we told that kid that you have to reduce eating chocolates. And everyone who asks me to have a chocolate, when I tell this reason, they are wonderstruck. But a kid can make a lot of difference in your life.
Truly.
And one more incident to tell that what we speak, we do not know what we speak on air. Mm. It is Swami who speaks through us. Every word is His. This was one interview which we had with a kid from Bombay. Mm. He had his Upanayanam done in Parthi itself. Mm. His grandparents stay here. So after the Upanayanam, they had visited the Radio Sai studio. So that time we were doing this children's hour. Then we had to interview that kid. We asked him, do you know the efficacy of Gayatri Mantra? Then he told, no, I don't know. And do you know how to chant the Gayatri Mantra? Then in that usual filmy style, he chanted. Then we corrected him and we told him, see, you have to ensure that every day you do Sandhya Vandanam and you chant Gayatri Mantra so that it becomes a part of your life. So he took this as a challenge. He told, okay, I should have some benefit if I am chanting this. So then we asked him, what do you want in life? Mm. Because he's a kid, he told, see, I have a football team in my school. I want to be a part of that football team. Then I told him, these words are not mine because it comes spontaneously. It comes from Swami. So I told, see, if you want to be a part of that team, you chant Gayatri Mantra daily. You'll surely be a part of that team. So after 1.5 months, I get a call from his grandmother telling that this boy has got into the football team. And after 6 months, again, I got a call from this grandmother telling, see, he is regularly chanting Gayatri Mantra in the way you have taught them. And he is now the captain of the team. So was a very beautiful experience. Like, so this is...
That's a really nice experience to share. How much faith that child must have developed in the Gayatri Mantra.
So more than him, actually, we developed that faith because it's very heartening to
I also
know
find
that.
That sometimes words just flow out of your mouth, which you have totally unpremeditated, and you know that Swami has taken over and he's doing the work. I want to share one experience that I had initially with Morning Glory when I wanted to make it as live as possible. So I was always scouting all week to find somebody who would agree to come at 9:40 and sit in the studio. But most people get nervous because it's a live show. So I would have a pre-show meeting with them to tell them, you know, this is the framework. This is roughly how the conversation will flow. And of course, there is no scope for editing. So you have to be careful when you speak. And one time I had this amazing person who I truly love and respect for his dedication to Swami. He's a young person, works for Swami. And I invited him and he said, no, Didi, I'm very scared and all that. So I said, you know, this is exactly how the conversation, these are the main topics, so you prepare and come. And he prepared very well. He's very methodical, research-oriented. And he sat here. At that time, I used to have Yathartha Silwal as my audio engineer. And my guest sat across from me, and as soon as I started this conversation, he had this big, because a very smiley, cheerful person, he kept smiling, and I introduced him, and I greeted him, and he wouldn't respond. He smiled and nodded. So I couldn't tell him on live show that, you know, you have to say something. There's no camera involved. And then I asked him my first question. I opened it, and he kept looking at me. And my heart was racing, and Yathartha was getting so stressed out. He was almost standing up and telling him with his hand, it's your turn to speak. Speak, man. But my guest just froze. It can happen to anybody who's never been on live radio. Mm. So I kept the conversation going and telling him that you start speaking, and I kept the flow of thought to give him pointers. He never came back. So I talked and I talked, and I said, Mr. XYZ, would you like to add something? And he said, he agreed with me. Something to that effect. So then I was so in such a spot, so I tried to work my way around and, you know, talk about it and say this person personifies the topic that I want to discuss and, you know, he's very humble and so on, he doesn't want to talk about it. And I got such flack from listeners who said I was dominating the conversation, I was not letting my guest in, I was very rude, I wouldn't give him a chance, but I kept pausing and showing him and he kept smiling and looking at me, he was in a trance. And another time when my guest was in the middle of a very intense discussion, he forgot to put his mobile phone on silent mode. So in his pocket, his phone rang and he just jumped out of his skin because he got so nervous. And when you're nervous, you don't know where the switch off button is. So it was on live conversation that these two instances happened. And the cell phone was okay. But the other one, so when this listener wrote was very upset and wrote an irate email to me, we couldn't tell him exactly what happened. But we said there was a little bit of a situation, so I had to cover up and apologize, and we'll be more mindful going forward. So you can't tell everything in public. Yes,
if I may interrupt here, Didi, I think before we go forward, I think we should take a moment and sit in awe to what Ganesh said a few minutes earlier.
Yes.
That he stopped eating chocolates before he gave advice on the radio. Because we hear stories like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or Ramana Maharshi, you know,
Ramakrishna Paramahamsa.
And Gandhiji also. I know a Gandhiji story which is identical, where the mother said the child eats too much sugar, and he said, "Oh, I can't bring him next week." And then he told the child, and the child stopped. And the mother said, "Why couldn't you have done it a week earlier?" He said, "Because I was eating sugar myself."
I know. Maybe 100 years from now, we'll be telling Ganesha's story.
And he has been truly a Ganesha for our studio, because Ganesha is the one who shows the path, and I think he has definitely done that.
And he has danced as Ganesha, and he removes many obstacles for me when I have technical difficulties. So yes, Ganeshji, thank you.
Didi, when you were speaking about those funny situation that you were in, I was reminded of many times this happens, you know, during afternoon satsang, because I am just the speaking guy in afternoon satsang. Prem is the one who does the technical thing, controls the panel as well as lines up the songs and everything. So many times I would have told him that, you know, keep this song, do this, keep this thing ready and this discourse. So because of some let up on either one of our sides, that will not be ready there. You know, and as we are speaking, and I'll tell, and now the discourse, and luckily, you know, this is only audio live, so people can't see what I'm doing with my face, hands, everything. So I'll be telling Prem that, you know, that discourse clip, that over here, he understands it, and then he says, "Oh my God, it's not here."
And so
then,
helpful.
And then Prem just with his hand, you know, he just indicates that you continue. He gets up, goes in search of it, and I'm here, you know, going on in the monologue. And you know Prem, and you know Prem, and that is Prem. And so you see, and so when Prem comes back, he has no idea what I've spoken, but I have to bring my whole monologue to a point where it comes to Prem just playing the clip. So these things happen, and we enjoy it, and we can't share it on any other occasion. So I thought this would be a good time to
share. So now we know the behind the scenes action in this dialogue between a missing Prem and a yapping Arvind.
Speaking of which, Didi, I'm sorry. There's one more very beautiful incident. You
Please.
Know, it's in theme with all the things that we spoke. What Ganesh said about you know, we doing something, but Swami taking it to some other level with his work, and a silent Prem and a yapping Arvind, and all these, and listener feedback. You know, rather than narrate the whole thing, I will just read out one mail that we had received an year ago. I won't name the person because the person has requested that way, but the mail goes something like this. It is self-explanatory. Sairam brothers, sorry, I'm writing this mail quite late now. I'm back home. This refers to your afternoon satsang on silence. I'm happy to share one of the most beautiful experiences I had post-surgery when I had gone for my delivery. I was in so much pain, and the doctors told me that the baby is born lifeless. They gave up completely. This made me and my family completely shattered. We did not know how to react to the situation. That was when I suddenly recollected the dream that I had the previous night. Beloved Sai visited the hospital, took my newborn baby in the divine hands and named her Sai Shruti. And then he told me, "She is under my custody. Here to Radio Sai, my boys speak there. One speaks too much, the other rarely opens his mouth, provided allowed by the younger one." And then he laughed aloud and my dream ended. These are the exact words I have quoted, although I did not understand much. It was the 21st of May 2015 at 1:57 in the afternoon. you know, this listener is writing from Burma, Myanmar. Mm. The baby was born completely cold, no movement, and yes, the doctor who operated told, "Madam, we are very sorry, the baby is lifeless and nothing can be done." And he left the room. I was shattered and felt a lump in my throat. Anyway, just after my husband hugged me, his cheeks too were wet with tears. After all, weren't we eagerly awaiting for this happy moment, but it had turned into immense sorrow. Mm. I asked my husband to call our people, and once they come, I thought we will slowly break the sad news to them. That was when I remembered this dream that Swami had already named her. And she was really a baby girl, so how could this have happened? I was lost in thoughts. That is when I told my husband to tune into Radio Sai. He was wondering that at such a serious situation, I am asking him to open a radio. Anyway, he did so. And that was the time this satsang on silence was going on. There I heard Brother Prem and Brother Arvind's voice talking on silence. I heard Brother Prem telling, "Silence is the state of preparedness to receive something." You know, as I heard both brothers speak more on this topic, my troubled mind became silent and it began to make me peaceful. In the silence, there was sorrow still, but we were listening to the satsang on silence and we were also waiting for the relatives to arrive. The silence in the room was broken by the loud cry of a baby.
Hmm.
First, I thought that it is either coming from the other room or maybe my mind is playing a fool because of the pain within. But my husband rushed to the room and soon he was speaking to a nurse who was standing outside the room. The nurse too followed him and they removed the blanket that was covering the baby and there was very obvious movement under the blanket. I could not see it because I was lying in a bed far away from the cradle where the baby was. To all our great wonders, this happened and my baby was perfectly fine. Seeing this miracle, we broke into tears of love from our beloved Sai. We could really experience what is called as true bliss. The doctor came in and he told it that he was amazed to see the baby being pulled out of jaws of death. Though he was puzzled at that time, he tried to give some scientific explanation that was not convincing at all. It was exact 2:13 p.m. Burma time when the baby cried out. The doctor who had declared her dead had no words to explain. It remained a mystery for him. I'm sorry for not disclosing the doctor's name without his permission because he is not a Sai devotee. It is quite possible that he may not like this to be disclosed because it shows that the doctor or hospital in poor light for declaring an alive baby as dead. It may have been bitter results for them, but we are Sai devotees and we completely believe and we can see his hands that brought our baby to life. I'm very grateful to Bhagwan for giving this beautiful gift in my life. As Sai told, we have named her Sai Shruti. I'm attaching her picture for you all to see and that is what we have already seen. Please continue this good work. I don't think there can be any other program through which Sai himself is involved. I'm planning to visit India soon. Hopefully, I'll come and meet you with Sai Shruti. I mean, what do you say? This was a mail that really brought tears in our eyes because, you know, on one hand, it is about a miracle that's happening. On the other hand, you know, it showed that every little thing that's happening here, I got a smile on my face when she read out saying the elder one speaks a little if the younger one allows him to. You know, it is so personal, so intimate, mm-hmm. such a little detail.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, Swami is the God of little things. These little things that convince you that my Lord is with me all the time, everywhere. That's why I say when people say Radio Sai is my connect to Swami, I say, oh no, it's not only yours. It is my connect to Swami also. I too can't live without Radio Sai.
And what a hair-raising experience, my God. Transforming. Prem?
Yeah, Didi, before I come to that experience, because there's something in that which, more than the experience, is something which is more special in that. But before we come to that, you know, some of the things which Ganesh and Chandu were saying about feedbacks being very pleasant and of course we being within a comfort zone.
Mm.
I think I am one who flirts outside that quite often.
Mm.
And
how do you do that?
Yeah, because being a single man give advice on married life.
Oh yes. Answering both and on parenting and on parenting. Relationships. Yes.
Right. That's precisely what you don't expect from somebody who doesn't practice those things, right? But you know, that's why it is, when I look back, and you say look back in the 5 years, probably the wildest thing I've done in all my life is start a program like Radio Sai Answering Booth. Because I think it's not in my nature to claim that I can answer your questions, I can solve your problems. But a bold move like that could not have been taken if it was not inspired by Swami. It was directly inspired by Swami saying that, you know, you should use Swami's message for applying to daily life. It's not about, because many times when you go through Swami's discourses, when you read about Vedanta and Bhagavad Gita, there's always, as they say, you know, there's a slip between the cup and the lip. It's always there. We know it, It is there in our mind. We know that this is what has to be done. But in a situation in life, we don't know how that actually fits in. And there are so many things in professional life, in family life, in what you do with your investments, what you do with your jobs, in all of these things. How do you make decisions within your careers? All of this can be influenced by Swami's message, and sometimes we miss that out. So I think this program, especially the answering booth, gave the opportunity about, you know, people giving a problem and presenting Swami's message. It's not an answer to their problem. It's not necessarily a solution to their particular problem, but presenting Swami's message in the backdrop of that question which comes
you
up.
You put it so nicely into perspective, I find.
Well, I think that's...
In relation to Swami's teachings. Right. Then person has to decide for themselves.
But you know, it all started off with a stinker of a mail which came as a feedback.
What was
and
it?
And it said, you know, what the hell do you think you're doing? You know, are you trying to take Swami's place? You know, how can you give answers? And I think the word went around that somebody in Radio Sai is going to answer questions if you have any. Literally like how Swami used to do in the interview room. And it became like this is going to be another mediumship show. I don't know how that idea went along. So, I mean, there were discussions in my class groups, in the WhatsApp groups, and, you know, in others, saying that, oh, Radio Sai is starting a program like this. Are they trying to do something which, you know, what we accuse others of doing in the name of Swami? So, there had to be a little bit of clarification that that's not what it is. This is still Swami's message. And again, it goes back to, you know, you all the time sticking to what Swami has said. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing anything of your own. You're not saying anything of your own. You're not trying to share your wisdom. You're just picking up what Swami has said. Yeah, exactly. And that is why, you know, though I completely agree that we all must practice before we preach, I would like to tell this to all our listeners that don't look at us to follow what Swami has said. No, we are here just giving out what Swami has said. I don't have to be perfect for you to follow what I am saying is Swami's message. Right? I always give this analogy. You could take a dirty book and learn cleanliness from that book. If that book is about cleanliness. You don't have to ask the book to be clean for you to learn cleanliness from that book. I think that's what it is. You know, all of us are not perfect. None of us are perfect. But the message which we're giving is the most elevating message because it's Swami's message. And one story which I promised I'll share, I'd like to talk about that. One very elderly gentleman, about 75 years old, he wrote in a question, very different question. You know, he was asking that I have so much of property. How do you think I should distribute it within my children, and you know, how much of it should be kept for my retirement, how much of it should be given in charity? And this person, I mean, really grateful, he had so much confidence that he actually disclosed the value of each of that property, the home that he had in different cities, the amount that it was in gold, the amount he had in cash, and all of that. And he said, of course, please don't disclose it to your listeners. I'm just giving it for your idea. You tell me what it is to be done. And he also showed, I mean, he also shared that his children were not very interested in the immovable property. So clearly saying that I want to know what is the best way to use it, what does Swami say about it? So I read about what Swami said, and there's one discourse where Swami beautifully says, you know, how much of money you should leave in inheritance, and if you have excess money, what you should do with that, what kind of charity you should do. It's a beautiful discourse, which I think Swami had given to bankers, right? So I fell upon that, and I read the whole thing, and I summarized it for this person over the thing. And one of the things which Swami was telling is, you know, if you want to do charity, go and give your money to the temple. You know, unnecessarily the temples are becoming more ostentatious. Do good work with that. And then Swami said, don't leave that for your after your life. You know, don't write it in your will that after my life, let this go to the orphanage. Do it when you're still alive. Do it when you still can involve, when you can do it. Like what Raghu was saying, that it's not just about giving the money, but being involved in the activity. And then Swami said, you don't have to do it here or there. Do it wherever you are. You know, there's always need around you. Address that first. You don't have to come anywhere. So I mentioned this whole thing, saying that, you know, do wherever you are, and in which organization. If you can do it yourself. That's the best thing. And all of that, and this person was so very happy. Two times my age. So he said, I'm going to follow exactly what you said. And I'm really grateful for what you shared, that Swami's message. And then he went on to say, now this is the part I didn't disclose to you. I would like to talk about it now. He said, I'm not a Swami's devotee. I've never seen Swami. Of course, now I regret. I hope I could have seen Swami, though he's from Bangalore. He said, I had this problem. I went to a friend of mine who is a Swami's devotee. And I said, see, what do you think I should do? And he said, this person promptly took me to Mudhanali.
Oh, dear God.
Okay. And he said, I had no clue. I had no idea of Swami. I had no idea of Mudan Ali. I went there. And there they introduced me to this boy who claimed that he could hear what Swami is telling him, and he was telling answers, right? So this person said, I went and told the whole thing to that boy, and promptly the boy told me that Swami is asking you to contribute whatever you have to this particular project, which they were doing. So this person heard him out, and he said, just give me some time, I'll go back, think over it, and come back. And he said, I felt a little uncomfortable, but not for any reason as we understand it, that this is not Swami's way. I mean, he had no idea about Swami. So he goes back and he said, after that I started reading about Satya Sai Baba, and then I came to know that there is a problem like this between the two ashrams. And still he does not take sides. He said, you know, I just see it as two factions, but I don't know which one is true. And then he said, after that I started getting calls repeatedly from them saying that, when are you going to come and give your property, right? So when all this was going on, he chanced upon Radio Sai, then somebody told him about this program. So he wrote this to the answering booth program, and he said, 90% expecting that you will tell me how to put this money in your trust.
Okay? Which you never did.
Which I never did, because that's never what Swami said.
Anything,
right?
About.
It's not about me saying or not saying. It was
because
never
Swami
part,
never talked like that or asked anybody for anything.
It was never in Swami's message. Because then we are only trying as much as possible to reflect Swami's message.
That is.
And he said, now I know who represents Swami. Person who does not know Swami, person who, and he said, you know,
even he can discern the truth.
Exactly, and he said, you know, this is what you said as Swami's message. This reflects who Swami is. You know, now I know what Swami is, and he said, I'm so grateful that, you know, I could come in contact with Swami's real message. It's not about coming in contact with me or the Radio Sai thing. He said, to come in contact with Swami's real message, he said, I'm going to go back and read more about Swami, and I really hope, you know, I could come and meet all of you one day.
Wonderful. Thank you really for sharing that.
Wow.
That is one wow story. Yes, Chandu?
Like Prem, you know, we are always talking of, in the future, we have to reach out to people who are not Swami's devotees and how to reach out to them and all that. But it is amazing that I think we already had two stories where we have already reached out to people
Without
being aware, and doing the same thing that you're doing without modifying Swami's message or, you know,
or putting
like
a spin
that.
On it, or putting your own self-interest, sugar-coating it, having an ulterior motive.
I feel those are the things that actually tone down the message, you know. Mm-hmm. If at all somebody feels that this program is not so good, it's not because Swami's message is weak, it's because of we doing all these, putting a spin or an ulterior motive. I think if we just open our heart and just allow, however unpalatable things may seem, or however, you know, old-fashioned things may seem, if we just allow Swami's message to flow, that's enough.
I'll just go back to that incident from Burma, which I related. In fact, the precursor to what she wrote was the fact that she was actually a listener of a Children's Hour program.
Oh, so sweet.
And when she was pregnant, she wrote to us saying that, you know, I listen to your Children's Hour program because I've heard that in our scriptures that the child in the womb listens to, you know, what happens around. So I want my child to listen to Swami's Chinnakathas and stories. That was the first mail she wrote. But, you know, going back to that mail that she wrote, I mean, how else can you explain that when some people come and ask us, what do you do now? Swami is not here. You know, how do you stay inspired? And as you were telling yesterday, you know, we were just having that short exchange, you completely forget that we are living in the absence of Swami.
Physical form.
Physical
for
form.
Me, I just forget that, and because
absolutely.
I find his hand in everything, palpable, living, breathing. Just now when we were talking to you, dear listeners, for a moment we had a power cut, and we have backup, so you could continue to hear the program, but it's extremely hot for me. So I just turned to Swami's chair and said, Swami, please, air conditioning won't be on and I won't be able to, I need oxygen. I'm going to run out of oxygen. I find it so hot in the studio because it's all enclosed. I just left that, Arvind was speaking, I told Swami on the chair, and a few seconds later, Babar was back and air conditioning kicked in. I mean, these are small things. Swami is there in everything that happens in Radio Sai.
Right. And that mail that she wrote, I remember the first time I read that mail. I mean, of course, really an emotional mail. You know, when you read that, you really can't sit with a straight face, right? But for me, that one line which Swami said, you know, listen to Radio Sai, my boys speak there. I actually didn't read further the first time when I read that. Because that's what we are here for, you know, that's the sense of belonging that we are here for. I mean, that's more than enough. Of course, the miracle part was very, very fascinating and very beautiful. But this reassurance that, you know, you're doing it for me, and I know you're doing it for me, and I'm doing the rest, right?
Yeah.
You give it to me, I will
You're
take it.
You're just making yourself available, because Swami can do all the work himself, but he just needs a variety of voices, accents, thought process, expression. So he just uses different people.
It's like tools, I feel. You know, tools. When I want to repair my cooler there, I need different tools. It's not that some tools are big, some are hammers, some are nails, but some may be big, small, but all of them have their uses. And I feel like you said, our duty and job is just to be available, because whichever tool the Lord needs, he will take it and use it. And I think that is the reason for us also to celebrate the diversity in the tools.
Exactly.
You know, each tool is there for a different function. And so therefore, it's a celebration of diversity, rather than trying to say that this is the best kind of program or this is the best kind of thing to do.
Very true. And that little baby girl, Sai Shruti from Burma, I guess she was listening to Radio Sai in her mother's womb. And then when she was left in the cradle for, God forbid, for being lifeless, at that time Radio Sai again came back. You know that movie, All Is Well?
Yes.
I don't know the name of the movie. There's some...
Three Idiots.
Yeah. So the baby was used to that sound in the womb. And I think you both have been are familiar voices to her, which is very interesting. I want to share one little experience. One day I went to the ATM machine in our ashram to withdraw money, and the Canara Bank people were fixing it. So I was standing quietly in a line, and a young father came with a very cute little daughter who looked like a little button. She was about 1 year and a few months old, and she was dressed like a little doll from, I think, Coimbatore, and she had the biggest beautiful eyes ever. So, and since I had nothing to do, I just asked the baby if she would want to come to my... I said, Sai Ram, come to me. And the baby just extended her arms and just came to me, total stranger, and she was so cute, and she was looking at my face, and I was making baby talk to her, and she looked so comfortable. So the father told me, she knows you. I said, how come? He said, you're the lady from Radio Sai, right? I said, yeah. Isn't she? We listen to Radio Sai all the time. She's used to your voice. That's why she validation from a one-year-old. And this was like, she said, then he told me the story. She was a gift from Swami to the parents, and they brought her here for her, just upon the completion of her first birthday, for blessings at the Mahasannidhi. So that was amazing. And dear listeners, you heard Prem talk about the WhatsApp group in his batch, which had all kinds of stuff going. Now I'll just share a WhatsApp story with you. When Prem had a question on the answering booth about some mother-in-law, daughter-in-law problem, he turned to me, being the lady closest to his desk. So I said, oh, don't worry, I'll pose the question on my alumni WhatsApp group, the Anantapur College. So I posed his question, and there was a raging debate. And I told the ladies on the group that one of the brothers in my office has a question. Of course, we maintain all confidentiality about who asked and what the nature was. So there was so much of gyan the sisters from Anantapur were sharing about loving your mother and mother-in-law. And Swami said this. And then I just... it was like on and on. Everybody had a point of view to share, which I was inundating Prem with. I said, here's more, here's more. I kept forwarding it to him. So he had to sift through it to find his answers, real life answer. Then in the end, I asked sisters, but how many of you can say you absolutely love your mother-in-law exactly the same way and as much as you love your own mother? And there was pin drop silence on the WhatsApp group. So that was a bit of a funny incident I had. And then Prem went through all the feedback, because it's so easy to give suggestions, advice, and put a spin on things. But to actually put it into practice is really quite a different ball game. And then, of course, I'm sure Prem gave some very sage advice to the young person who had mother-in-law issues based on after sifting through the feedback from the Anantapur girls. Ganesh, you would like to add something?
Yeah, Didi... once in a while, when we are doing something continuously, boredom sometimes we may get, or sometimes we may have to, sometimes we may have to, because I'm very, very frank in this show.
Yes, and continue to be so. We now already have one confession, you were sleeping during divine discourses.
And this was like when I was not well in for one of the shows, one of the Thursdays, I had to put a recorded show. That was an interview with the pediatrician in the general hospital on children's problems at young age. So I had a severe headache that Thursday. So I thought, why to strain, and I'll just put this recorded show and I'll go and sleep. So the show started at 3:30. Around 4:10, the show was about to get over, I get a call. I was woken up by this call. This is a lady from Kottagudem, very unheard of Telugu people listening to Asia Stream, and that too a Telugu show. And she calls me and tells, is this Ganesh brother? Yes. Brother, just now I was listening to the show that you had broadcasted. My child is facing a severe health problem, and the pediatrician that whom you are talking to is giving the right answer to me. Till now, from the last 6 months, we are not able to figure out what that problem was for the child. So can I directly talk to the pediatrician and get a solution for this? So I was just woken up, all the headache was gone in a fraction of a second. And then immediately I gave the number of the pediatrician to that lady. After 2 days, she called me back, and the doctor also called me, told, I don't know how Swami works through all of you guys, and the right solution for the problem which we were facing from last 6 months with this child. I think that was the problem of asthma in children. So the doctors outside were not able to figure out, and our doctor had given the solution, and now the kid is hale and hearty. So we should be very, very careful of of what we are doing. And
even when you were slacking, Swami was using you as an instrument. Had you not played that pediatrician's interview, the frantic mother would not have gotten her answer.
Yes, very much.
So I find that in everything, Swami is running this.
These are the moments, Didi. For example, this going back to the same Burma mother-child incident, you know, it was a very paradoxical thing, because me and Prem decided to have a 1.5 hour discussion on silence. You know, it's such a irony there, you know.
Oxymoronic.
Yeah, you have a satsang on silence. I mean,
it should have been totally silent.
Three omkarams and that's it, off air. But so after a discussion, somehow we just said, okay, let's go ahead with it. And now we see why we had to go ahead, you know, because it was meant to break a silence elsewhere and break it in a manner that is so beautiful. So I mean, even the mistakes that we think we are making, when we look at it in a broad perspective, it's all been so beautifully orchestrated by Bhagwan that at the end of the day, you know, we just can't feel anything else but just grateful for His mercy, grace, and this chance to be part of this beautiful divine revolution.
Mm. Chandran, would you like to add something?
I think the Radio Sai also should now come under the medical care division of Satya Sai Central Trust.
We are providing spiritual treatment.
Yeah, and, I mean, not just
and coordinating
treatment.
And with, you know, coordinating it with the, we are the one of the mouthpieces of the medical treatment.
You said, Brother Sai Prakash is not here. I want to, you know, say one thing that he often said, and in fact, while making a presentation to the trustees, he put up this slide, you know. He compared Radio Sai to the Satya Sai Super Speciality Hospital. He said, Bhagwan has His ways of doing things, and in the Super Speciality Hospital, Swami is dealing with physical problems that need super speciality treatment. Okay, and he's working through every volunteer, every doctor, every professional in the hospital. He said, in the same way, there are some problems that are beyond the body, that are mental, psychological, and they also require some super speciality treatment. So just as Swami is doing with the hospital there, here also, through volunteers, through the different staff, Swami has His way of doing. So let us not, you know, let us not think that this is a media unit. It's not a media unit. This is also a Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, a temple of healing, which caters to not the physical body possibly, but to other
holistic healing.
Yes, holistic healing.
Because we do have doctors on show who give us very sage advice, but they give us advice which is very holistic. I just want to mention here that although Brother CG is not here, CG Sai Prakash, his name keeps coming up, and that is because CG is leading our team. He's put himself through a lot of training with the grace of God and through his enthusiasm, and he's initiating a lot of changes here. Everything, you know, with Swami is a very different ball game. We don't talk about stuff till it happens. You know, Swami is ready with the blueprint, the money, the doctors. He has pulled the strings, inspired doctors to quit their million-dollar jobs, and then he announces the super speciality hospital. So here at Radio Sai, there is a great move that by the time the next big birthday comes along, the landmark birthday, you will find us everywhere you turn. We are going to be omnipresent. We are going to take over the world with the message of love and the universal harmony, because that's what humanity needs. And for this, there's a lot of need for upskilling, retraining, and hyper-focusing on the digital platform. And our brother CG Sai Prakash is one of the key people who is leading this this mission. He's going to be one of the game changers in the mission, and I promise you that one of these days, when once he's done his globetrotting, we'll catch up with him and bring him to you to talk about it, and also Brother Bishu. So I'm going to read two feedbacks. I know I'm going a little bit over time. I'll read two feedbacks from listeners, and then I'll come back to my brothers for their final thoughts, so you can gather your final thoughts, because you know, not all feedbacks are, we always welcome critical feedbacks, and they challenge us. We have a feedback which is a suggestion from Sister Lakshmi Venkatesh, who says, it's been an awesome journey for you all to constantly have the vibes of Swami, listening, chatting, reading, experiencing every day some events that do touch your hearts. True, sister, you're right. She goes on to say, have you ever literally spoken to the common man about their journeys, their ordeals, their struggles, their genre of thinking, and the inner fights they face with their minds? It's difficult, isn't it? Actually, yes, difficult, but we thought we were doing it, but I guess not enough, according to what you say, sister. She says, just travel your radio sign network to the innermost deep places. You will surely find a gem, a devotee more powerful than you all would have met. Sometimes the genuine folks across our country turn out the best deep-rooted followers of Swami's principles. Jai Sadam. So thank you, Sister Lakshmi Venkatesh. That's a good, valuable suggestion. In our hearts, we thought we were doing it, especially with the Seva Dals who come from places that you've not even heard of, and who are actually doing this. Some, many of them have never met or seen Swami, and yet their heart is completely devoted to his teachings. But I guess you inspire us to keep this focus in mind with greater depth and more gravitas. And then there is the constructive feedback from Sister Shalini Krishnan from Ohio, USA. And if I may say, Shalini is an avid listener of Radio Sai and an alumna of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, a lifetime devotee of Baba. And she says, and I quote her, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to Swami and all the dedicated staff at Radio Sai for giving us an uplifting experience every time we tune in. I'm very teary-eyed every time I think of your immense devotion to Sai. I'm an avid listener of Thursday Live, constantly tuned in. Most times, I listen to programs even before they have been aired by searching to see what is new. I cannot appreciate enough the efforts of the staff of Radio Sai, and she mentions a whole lot of names. Professor G. Venkatraman, Karuna, Arvind, Prem, Hari Shankar, Sai Prakash, Bishu, Chandu, Raghu, Ganesh, and guest speakers like Sai Giridhar, Ameya, Aman, J. Bhargav, Sri Rangarajan, and of course, the most inspiring, Raghuram Bhatt, to name only a few that have become part of our family. Thank you all for your hard work and devotion in keeping us tuned to the Lord day in and day out. Here are my thoughts on each segment. Morning Glory. I loved the reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. It was very beautiful in bringing our Swami's youthful days to memory. I also loved the experience of the very humble and simple devotees like Mr. Gangadharan, Mr. Jagannath, Mr. Jagannath Prasad Rao, the Chinese devotees, many of whom have not physically seen Swami, Dr. Panch, Dr. Hema, about yoga, and the list goes on. We are glued to Radio Sai for this wonderful segment, as there is so much to learn from these great devotees. Number two, love to love. I love the satsang hall talks that are played interspersed with songs. Lots of gyan. Thanks, Brother Chandu. Afternoon satsang. This segment brings us stories of Bhagwan and wisdom combined. It's a bhakti and jnana workshop combined. I think what brings the flavor to this segment is that we have a highly energetic Arvind and a very calm Prem. We love it. You make such a nice twosome. And she says, Bhajan Tutor, what a great initiative by Brother Bishu. It's wonderful how when you listen to bhajans, you have heard a million times and you get a new perspective. The meaning of each word and Swami's stories associated with the bhajan guides you to focus on him the next time you listen to the same bhajan. I love the conversation part of it, especially we get to hear from old devotees like Mr. Krishna Das Iradi and some bhajan singers. Always a pleasure to hear his glories. Number 5. Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. When the 1990 series ended and the new one did not take off, I kept persisting in my emails to Radio Sai for resurrecting this. I am so glad that it came back. Again, having heard Swami's discourses even in his physical presence, I am not sure what I understood. She's like you, Ganesh. So each time I hear his discourse, now it is like hearing it for the first time. I love these series. In fact, whenever I'm doing Whenever I'm done listening to the current Thursday Live, I go back to these series and listen to the download sessions of SMN at random. Each time Swami speaks to me through these, there is always something pertaining to my current situation that he addresses through these series. Shalini, I want you to know this applies to all of us. This is how he multitasks. He is this most amazing God of ours. Then she has point number 6, Prema Vahini. I cannot say enough about this. The special guests on these series bring a fresh and beautiful perspective to Swami's discourse. I sometimes download and re-listen to get the full import again. We have been blessed infinitely for knowing and interacting with him, but we will have failed miserably if we do not delve into his message. Thank you for bringing us this segment. Thanks, Bishu, for Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I look forward to the bliss you bring us. Sai Ram, Shalini Krishnan. So with that, dear listeners, thank you for all the positive feedback you've given us. And I'm going to turn to my brothers and have...
Even as we were going on Facebook, we are getting so many feedback. While many are telling that they're listening live, two feedback in particular I want to tell.
One is
Brother Shyam Kumar from Chennai.
Hmm?
He's saying that if Radio Sai is a telephone connection to Prashant Illiam, Thursday Live is a hotline.
Ooh.
And we have Shruti Mahadevan from Bangalore saying, I hope we won't have to wait for another 5 years to get all of you together again.
Okay. You know, dear listeners, all these guys are... I don't know how this place runs. This, you come to our office, you'll never find all of us on our desk because everybody is somewhere else. So I'll have to put some Fevicol on the seats and glue them to it so that nobody runs away. I'll have them back every year and maybe more often because I know that our listeners enjoy hearing from them and hearing the behind-the-scenes stories to know that honestly and truthfully, and this is not being said because it's the politically correct thing to say or it's the fashionable and cool thing to say. Here, everything Swami is doing. He's always seated on his singhasan inside the studio. He's running the show. He's speaking through us, thinking through us, guiding us. Whatever topic we are searching, it just flash comes like a flash and the material appears on your desk or on your computer. So it's so nice to be in his divinity service and just to be. You don't have to overthink anything around here. This is the least stressful job in the world. Do you concur with me?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
It's such a joyful job. Everything you do, you feel that sweetness of his love in your mouth. You can taste it and your heart is like a puddle. And there's not a working day that goes in my life when I don't cry out of bliss because there is so much of overwhelming love and his presence is so palpable. You have goose flesh all the time. You meet people, you hear stories, you come across literature. So we are living the scene. This is it.
In a lighter vein, Didi, people will pay to do this. We are getting paid to do this. It's bliss.
Truly, it is wonderful. And everybody, Swami takes nothing for free from anyone. For any effort anybody makes, he pays us a million ways. And compensation is not only monetary. Compensation is in so many forms.
Absolutely.
It is self-satisfaction. Absolutely. It is joy. It is transformation, evolution. This is the kindest, the best friend, the kindest parent one can have, the best, coolest God we could have in this lifetime. I don't know what we have done to be in his service, and we just pray on behalf of all these people here and everybody involved in Team Radio Sai, those of us you hear very frequently and the others who work so silently behind the scenes. Pray to Swami to keep us humble and awake to the fact that he's the doer, we are only the instrument, so that we don't develop any ego, craziness and, you know, thoughts of I-ness and self-glorification. And we remember that as long as we remain humble, simple, and truthful and honest, he will continue to blow his sweet breath through us and make music through us, divine music. Final thoughts, Brother Ganesh? You want to add something?
last but not the least, I would like to thank Praveena sir, Brother Shyam and Brother Bhargav because they have contributed a lot for our Radio Sai Vedam tutor. Every week, coming on time for the shows and keeping it alive. Thanks to Praveena sir once again.
Thank you, Praveena sir.
For me, I think I just like to take a moment to tell that how inspiring it is for me to talk to each of these people who are here. Like, you know, when I look at Ganesh or Prem or Arvind or Raghu, like especially Prem and Ganesh does multiple shows every week. I mean, I used to struggle with one, and when I see these people do multiple every week, or Arvind and Prem again continuing the afternoon satsang for so long without any break, you know, come what may, the afternoon we have a fresh program every week, and Raghu, of course, you don't have to talk about him. He's the
super
kind of
hero.
Work that he does here is amazing.
Yeah.
With the Uncle Lions and also contributing in. So it's always very inspiring to have a session like this. You know, I personally would go back very inspired after listening to all these people around me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chandu. Brother Raghu.
Yeah, even I would like to thank Swami for this wonderful opportunity of Thursday Life. In fact, as I said in the beginning, service is something which is very close to my heart, and I took the topic and I have learnt a lot about after doing many shows on service. I have learnt a lot on Seva. In fact, Swami himself has been the embodiment of Seva, and for the Satya Sai Seva organization, Swami has raised the bar of service. In fact, if we see the Orissa housing project that Swami has started,
mm-hmm.
Swami has built 1,000 houses for the victims of the flood. And Swami, in his own words, has told that the houses should be shashvatam, that is permanent. It should not be some tilled house or wooden house or something like that.
And the next flood comes and it gets washed off again.
It should be pakka concrete houses. That's what Swami told.
On raised ground.
Yeah, on raised mm-hmm. ground. So that, yeah, next time when the flood comes, it should not affect much. And on another occasion, when there was an earthquake in Gujarat, few of Swami's students, it seems, had collected a truckload of clothes and to send it to Gujarat. And the students told Swami, "Swami, we have collected clothes." But Swami was upset with the boys. Why Swami was upset means the boys had collected the used clothes, the old clothes which they had. And Swami told, no, you should not do this. And Swami was very upset. And on the other hand, Swami himself collected a truckload of new clothes and sent it to Gujarat for the affected people. So this is what the bar that Swami raised for for all devotees to emulate the seva activities. And now, as I said, I have changed the segment. It's
Ashtotaram,
on Ashtotaram. And I would like to thank Sister Lalita from Bangalore, who is helping me in this. She is recording the stories for the different names of the Lord from the 108 names. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Raghu, and thank you, Sister Lalita. Arvind?
You know, Didi, you also read out a feedback where people were saying, why don't you do this, why don't you go there and do that. You know, all said and done, if you take it as a media unit also, we are just about 20-25 people, and it becomes physically impossible to actually go to different places, go in depth. We are sure that there are those gems out there. We have to search for them.
True.
But possibly we don't have the physical time. And when I was thinking of, this is the feedback you shared with us yesterday, and I was thinking of it, I was reminded of a statement that Swami made when he came to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it applies to this also. When he came to the studio, at that time, you know, this was supposed to be a center for audio tapes and his discourses. And that's all was the vision of the people who were here. Nobody had the slightest clue of what Swami was planning to do with Radio Sai. In fact, that is the reason we are named Radio Sai. If we are going to be a media unit, why would we name ourselves as Radio Sai? But at that time, Swami turned to a few of our brothers and said, "Anni ikkada vastundira." He said, everything will come here. And you know, at that point in time, we didn't understand what Swami was meaning. We thought possibly all his discourses will be coming here. And today, with the Satya Sai archives almost about to be commissioned, we realize how much wealth of audio-visual treasures of Swami are coming and flowing here. Letters that Swami wrote to different people. People are just coming and offering it. And these are great treasures that are coming to us unasked. And I always felt that this is what Swami was referring to when he said that everything will come here. But today, you know, I'm just feeling this moment of enlightenment where I realize that when Swami said that it's not just the physical material, all that is needed to be broadcast from here, for that all the activities that we need to be do here, for all of that, all the help will come. For example, the different stories that Raghu has broadcast, different interviews that you have taken, Bishu has taken, or Ganesh, Prem, everything, you know, we have not gone around seeking for anything. It's not just that Swami would not seek money or resources. We have also not sought anything. Everything has come to us unasked. And I feel that in answer also to that listener who said that Why don't you go and seek and find out and get stories? I feel whatever we need at the correct time, in the correct circumstance, Swami will definitely send. And it is firmly in this faith that we are all entrenched. And we just have to lead our lives like those tools, making ourselves available and waiting for Him, being grateful for this opportunity given.
Thank you, Arvind. Well said. Prem, the wise Prem has the final word.
I think going back to that email, I think the only thing I would like to tell that person is, I think we all are common people. You know, if you want to listen to a common man, we all are common men. You know, we are not anything separate. In fact, many times when you're doing the afternoon satsang, right, sometime back, we were going through the African trip. We don't realize when we're doing it, we are filled with so much boyish wonder and we're looking at, oh, Swami saw the hippopotamus, or Swami saw the crocodile, Swami went there to this falls. These are simple things, but we see it with so much relish. And I think that is the wonderment of a common man. It's not somebody who's wise or who's very profound. The same feeling with which we looked at Swami when we were students, when Swami did things, I think Swami has given us the joy of feeling that even now. And the only prayer is Swami should allow us to live in that wonder, boyish, girlish wonder, whatever it is, to look at Swami's life and look at Swami's words with as much wonder. You know, we don't want to become wise. We don't want to become scholars. We would always like to be those children who are in wonder of their parent. And I think we'll end with that. I mean, I'd like to end with that prayer to Swami.
Thank you, Prem. And dear listeners, I got so caught up in what these brothers were saying. You know, they can be quite engaging and distracting in that sense. So I forgot to look at my inbox. Now I just clicked and I have a ton of emails from all of you about the 5th anniversary, and there are questions, and I know there is I can see Yoga Kumar, Nadaraja, Jayashree Amarnath, Mridula Murthy, Babita Maitani, so many Tarun Kant Ghosh. I have a ton of emails from all of you. Brother Ashok Kriplani from Hong Kong, congratulations. So since I'm running out of time, I will save these for next Thursday. I promise you, I won't delete them. I'll mark them. I'll put them in this very, very special folder. And I'll share this feedback next Thursday with all our listeners. I can see it says Morning Glory, 5th anniversary celebrations. So many people have written. But I just didn't realize to look up and consolidate this. So as I'm out of time, I just want you to know that on behalf of all of us, it's been a great divine journey. 5 years of bliss that Swami has given us, and we have found His hand in everything. In finding His material, guess everything has come to us. And for this, we're extremely grateful to Swami and to you, because as we said at the start of the show, for us now, Swami listens through your ears. And if your heart is touched, we feel we have offered a little flower of our love and gratitude at His lotus feet. Those are the only lotus feet we want to bow to, and He's the only one we want to please. We have no other ambition, no other life goal, just to feel His love and to see the smile on His face. And we hope with your support and guidance and feedback, we will continue to achieve that. I wish you a sizable, awesome day ahead, and do I need to even remind you that we'll be looking forward to your feedback to this special episode commemorating the 5th anniversary of Thursday Live. And you know where to reach us, listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company and have a great Saisam day ahead. Jai Sai Ram. And I'm not forgetting, all of you love the Pata Mandiram Aarti. I'm going to play it for you right now.
Shuni From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
हमको तुमसे प्यार कितना